Blog Talk Radio.
For a long time, but no one's ever
been able to try to explain this stuff. NASA imaged a brown dwarf star we call Nemesis. This brown dwarf star, it orbits around our entire solar system. We call it Nemesis. Nemesis has seven planets. None of this has been leaked at all to the general population. Planet number six is the planet Nibiru. Most of your listeners, they probably know it's called the planet of the crossing. Well, for a good reason. It crosses from the Nibiru solar system, the brown dwarf solar system, into our solar system at a high angle, about 30 to 40 degrees. It goes down below our sun and goes all the way back out between Jupiter and Mars. NASA imaged Nibiru itself back in 2008, and the image I have shows lines going to 13 planets or moons, whichever one you want to call it. Now, so they knew it had 13 things orbiting it. Now, since Nibiru goes between Jupiter and Mars, for these things to be seen in our skies, they have tremendous orbits. Now, starting in December of 2015, we started seeing things in our skies, and I have photographs of each and every one of these things. The Vatican has been working with the U.S. government and all the other world governments since 1955. The Vatican is in charge of all of the Earth's observatories. So the observatory down in Antarctica, the New Meyer Station number 3, had been following something in their skies. I have photographs going back to 2011, always for them zoomed in on something. This one object became very clear in their skies in black and white on April 10th, 2015. It showed a huge striped planet or moon in the skies over Antarctica. One of my friends in Illinois, the state of Illinois here in the United States, she looked up in her skies on April 29th, and she photographed the same thing in her skies, but it was in color. So it showed a big bluish-looking thing with stripes across it, just like Jupiter. But we cannot see Jupiter in our sky from the ground as a huge thing. Then we start seeing one thing after the other, after the other, after the other. Now, one of my friends, he deals with the observatories, and he got a hold of me several months ago, and he said, Bob, the northern observatories are seeing 8 things in our skies, but they're not talking about it. And I said, God, can you send me a photograph or something? So he sent me a video. Now, I can't not mention which observatory, and I cannot mention his name. And I received the video showing exactly what observatory it was, and I saw 8 objects that were being caught by their cameras or whatever they use. At that time, we were seeing 6 of these things in our skies from the ground. People taking photographs, people looking through telescopes, and also people going on different web pages, which were showing, then they were making a quick copy of the photograph, and then they were posting them on Facebook. So I have pictures of 8 of these things being seen in our skies. They're all different colors. Now, planet The red planet, which has been seen very clearly in our nighttime skies and at early morning after sunrise, we call this one red thing wormwood from the Catholic Holy Bible. From the ancient Egyptians, they called it the destroyer. Now, the Hopi people here in the United States, the Native Americans called the Hopi, they call it the red kachina. Now, the ancient Egyptians, they know, they saw in their skies during the exodus of the Hebrews out of Egypt. Now, I have almost an exact date for that. The date was 1613 B.C. Now, how do I know this? The ancient Egyptian scribe named Ipuwer, he described volcanic ash falling all over Egypt during the Exodus. The only volcano that was erupting back then was the ancient Greek island of Thera, now called Santorini. Now, recently, the researchers there on Santorini, they found an olive tree at the base of all the volcanic ash, and they dated that tree to 1613 BC. So when the island of Thera was erupting and then exploded, that was the volcanic ash being seen over Egypt. Okay? So that dates the Exodus. Boom, right there. Ipuwer's description of the Exodus was very clear. Volcanic ash, and then when the Pharaoh's troops caught up to the Israelis, the Hebrews, up in the saltwater marsh, they described very clearly a tremendous blast sound in the sky. That was the eruption and destruction of the island of Thera. Very clear. Okay, that's the last time she was here. Now, why is this not in the history books? Very interesting.
Yes, why isn't it?
Well, you see, during the time of the Exodus, the Egyptians were not in charge of the area called the Upper Nile Delta. The ancient powers called the Hyksos, H-Y-K-S-O-S, they were in charge of Upper Egypt from the 12th Egyptian dynasty to the end of the 17th Egyptian dynasty. Lower Egypt, the Egyptian brothers, Akhmos and Kamos, they led the battle to kick the Hyksos out of Egypt. Kamos was killed. Akhmos became pharaoh in 1550 BC. And the Egyptian army pushed the Hyksos up towards the present-day Jerusalem. Akhmos became pharaoh. He reunited Upper and Lower Egypt. Akhmos, in Hebrew, means brother of Moses. So, the Egyptian people, they say there was no Hebrew people there. So, if we were to say, hey, the Hyksos were the Hebrews, all kinds of problems would start. And then you'd have problems between the Muslims and the Jews and the Christians. Because the Christian Bible says the Exodus happened. They say it did not happen. You understand this, Bob? So
yeah,
it's a well-kept secret. Unfortunately, Ippur, this Egyptian scribe, detailed very clearly that the destroyer was in the skies over Egypt during the Exodus. Now, what is the destroyer? Okay, Nibiru orbits between Jupiter and Mars. If it ever leaves that orbit coming in further, our solar system would be in bad trouble. So it does not come any closer to Earth than between Jupiter and Mars. But
why is that, Bob?
Well, okay. You have to read the books by Zachariah Sitchin. The Lost Book of Enki is the most descriptive book. When our solar system was put together, at some point, brown dwarf star became part of our solar system. This brown dwarf star, NASA knows about, and they call it Nemesis. N-E-M-I-S-I-S, Nemesis. They don't want the regular population to know about this for some reason. I cannot understand why. Planet number 6 is Nibiru. Nibiru swings through our solar system every 3,600 years. And if the Earth is in the wrong position when it comes through between Jupiter and Mars, orbits down below our sun, and comes back up, causes problems. Now, if any of your listeners have ever watched the movie 2012, the movie 2012 talked about a great deal of things that the average person would never have known. Near the end of the film, they show the Chinese monk in his monastery. He feels the wind along his right ear. He turns his head and hears the ocean coming over the mountains. So he gets up and he starts banging this gigantic bell as a warning. And then the waters wash his monastery right off the mountains. I had to research that. That goes back to 2,900 years with the ancient Chinese emperor called Yao, Y-A-U, or Y-A-H-O-U. He said he saw this thing from the constellation of Yin, like yin and yang, and it approached, and it caused the oceans to top the high mountains of China. It took them 13 years to drain the salt water from the high mountain valleys back down to the rivers, and he had to send out 4 teams to find out where north, south, east, and west was again. That meant that this thing that was never described other than this thing had caused an earth crustal displacement. That's the proper term for a geological pole shift. The second one was detailed in the Bible as Noah's flood. Now, you see, any researcher that tries to research this and even touches or steps on any one of the religions is stepping on a very slippery slope.
Yes.
I'm not saying the Bible is not true. I am not saying the Jewish Kabbalah is not true. I am not saying the Muslim religion is not true. I'm just saying this is what I found digging back to ancient history. The Lost Book of Enki said that Noah had a different name. He went by different names. The other name he used, and the Lost Book of Enki is very clear on this, and I found it through other researchers, his name was Zayasudra. And Zayasudra built the ark. Now, this other time, the third time this thing came through our solar system and the Earth was in the wrong position was during the Exodus. So that's 3,000-something, 600 years ago. Okay? So what was the destroyer? Now, the destroyer was very well detailed by Ipawer. He said it was a massive red thing in our skies. He said during the Exodus, the red destroyer took up from the horizon up as far as you could look, took up the skies up to one-fifth of the skies, the horizon. Now, what are we seeing in our skies right now? We are seeing
How many are we seeing at the moment around the world?
We have seen 8 different objects, different colors on each one. The red one we're seeing, a very clear red, huge red thing in the skies over Mesa, Arizona, here in the United States, over Mexico, seen in the skies over Germany. It's a huge, massive red object, which is not our moon. We are seeing only one red object. That red object is the only thing that has to be. It's called the destroyer. This big red object is very well detailed in the Holy Bible. It's called wormwood. The ancient Hopi prophecies describe it very clearly as a massive red thing they call the Red Kachina. Okay, that is why every government around the planet has built what we call the DUMBS, D-U-M-B-S, Deep Underground Military Bases. Now, just like the Holy Bible with the Exodus, Ipawer described that this destroyer in our skies had fire coming down to the earth. Holy Bible describes fire coming down to the earth, and the fire raced around the round. Ipawer says the exact same thing. He said the fire from the skies burned all that grew, orchards, fields, vines, and that there was no food left in Egypt except for that which was saved in storehouses.
Right.
Ipawer also said very clearly that the stars shifted their positions in the nighttime skies, and that the sun and the moon rose in new positions and set in new positions. The only way that could happen would be an earth crustal displacement, a geological pole shift. Now, what caused that pole shift? Was it the destroyer by itself? One red planet, moon of Nibiru? Or was it all eight or more in our skies? I do not know. Okay?
The seasons are changing, Robert, aren't they?
Pardon?
All the seasons are changing at the moment. You don't know.
The changes,
you know, when summer's supposed to be coming, it's cold, it's wet.
Seasons
are changing all the way around the world. Wherever you look, there's rain, there's floods.
Now the news media here in the United States, we've been learning that there's been massive flooding over in Europe, just like there is here in the United States around Texas and some of the states around there, massive flooding. Okay? One of the rivers here in Texas is like 54 feet above flood stage.
Incredible.
So we are getting, and they have more rain projected over the next couple of days. So here in the United States, over in Europe, I've heard of massive rainstorms there in the United Kingdom, England.
Yes.
So are these things in our skies affecting the Earth's crust? I say yes, they are. Because we've been seeing on the Internet one volcano after the other, after the other, after the other, erupting. Now, these things must have a very strong gravitational forward slash electromagnetic pull. And this pull is affecting the Earth's crust. And if we get any closer to these things, they're going to cause massive earthquakes. Now, the Hopi people in their ancient prophecies said that the ground would be heaving, shaking, and heaving. Now, that's almost a fantastic explanation for as the earth, the outer crust of the earth is shifting over the mantle because of these massive red things pulling on the earth's crust.
Yeah.
Now I have to do a little bit of detail here. I'm sorry.
No, it's no problem.
Nibiru orbits through our solar system clockwise. And I'm quite sure everything that orbits around Nibiru also orbits clockwise. The Earth orbits counterclockwise.
Right.
So, if Nibiru is on its outward path now, and the Earth is orbiting from right to left towards it, or towards these planets or moons, that's why all the world's governments built these deep underground military bases and the emergency seed vaults like Svalbard, Norway. I know England has an emergency seed vault, one or two of them. Each country around the planet has these emergency seed vaults. Now, these emergency seed vaults, yes, these seed vaults have one seed for every plant or tree of everything that grows on the planet Earth. So if we have a massive flood or fire from the sky and they have to rebuild, they have to regrow everything for us to eat, that's why these seed vaults were paid for. by all of our taxes around the planet. Now, here in the United States, the largest emergency seed vault is up in the state of Colorado. Now, for your listeners, I'm quite sure they must know about this. The Sleeping Prophet, Edgar Cayce, died in 1945. Before he died, he was the first person to describe the term pole shift. And he said before, not too much longer after he died, there was a future upcoming pole shift. So this sleeping prophet knew that this is what was coming up. Okay. Pope John Paul II, not just this idiot Bob saying what he found during his research, or the person standing on the street corner saying the world is coming to an end. Here's the Pope, Pope John Paul II, 1980. He went to a German town, and he went before a lot of German Catholics, plus one or two reporters. And they asked him about the third secret of Fatima. And Pope John Paul II said very clearly that the other popes before him would not talk about it or release this statement from this one girl who was a nun in 1960 because they didn't want the communists to have certain coups or take in certain lands. But what if it was in writing that the world's oceans would cover every continent, causing the death of millions in minutes? Why talk about it? Okay? Very clear. Why would they talk about it? Now, the Vatican tried to downplay this speech that Pope John Paul II gave. They didn't say it was wrong. They tried to downplay it. Pope John Paul II died. And after the 1980 warning he gave, he never mentioned this warning again during his lifetime. Never mentioned it again. Now, this was 1980. He was almost assassinated in 1981. After he recovered, he went straight to the jail cell of the person who tried to assassinate him. And he spoke to this person for 2 hours off the record. He never mentioned this warning again. The next pope that took after him never said anything about this stuff. After he retired, the first pope in over 600 years to retire, Pope Benedict, he went on several German radio shows, and maybe more, and he blasted the Jesuits for their alien agenda. Pope Francis, he's a really nice pope from what I've heard. All of my friends down in different countries, they say he's a perfect pope. I've never met him. I've only seen him on television. The supposed prophecy is that Pope Francis will be the first person to open up alien contact. The Hopi also say the same. The Hopi also say the same thing. That the two star brothers, the blue Kachinas, will come down here to Earth, and they will dance in a normal plaza. A normal plaza meaning a plaza has everyone, Hopi and the Pohanas, the white brothers. Pahana is their term for the white persons. And that the two star brothers will dance in the plaza and they will unmask themselves. First contact, unmasking so everyone knows who and what they are.
Yes.
First contact. See, these things are being seen in our skies. I am the only, and I'm gonna emphasize this very clearly. I am the only person who's been researching Nibiru, Planet X, that has been showing photographs of what we're seeing in our skies on my Facebook page, Robert H. Evans Jr.
You're right.
Every time someone sends in a photograph and we determine it's a true photograph, I am posting it on my Facebook page. No one else is doing it. And there are numerous other. I'm not trying to say they're lying. I'm not trying to say that they are refusing to post these photographs. But as a researcher, you have to have an open mind to what other researchers are coming up with. And if you're posting these photographs for every person to look at,
yes.
Why are they not posting these photographs? Okay?
Yep.
If you go to all of your listeners in whatever country they are, if you go to my Facebook page, Robert H. Evans Jr., and say, please friend me. I will click on your thing and friend you very quickly. Now, I know this from other friends who are posting this stuff. Facebook does not like all these photographs. Now, I know the United States government is monitoring everything on Facebook. No ifs, ands, or buts. They're monitoring it. I know my stuff has been monitored for a long time. My telephone conversations, my emails, and everything I post, I know is being monitored. I have lost 2 desktop computers and 15 laptop hard drives to viruses to take them out. I'm not going around to every XXX type web page. I'm going right onto the regular internet like all your listeners do.
Yes,
but I've lost all these. My wife lost her laptop a couple years back to massive viruses, and she said, no way, I'm not going to do this no more. She was so ticked off. I couldn't blame her, but I told her I had to keep going. I had to keep researching this, and that's when all these photographs started showing. And people around the planet, over in Slovakia, down in Australia, New Zealand, people in the southern South America. I've had people, hey, Bob, please friend me. I'm in this country. We're seeing this stuff in our own sky, and the news media is not talking about this. No, I'm sorry, they will not talk about it. And you can try on your own to send something. I've seen one article after another coming from the BBC, coming from the papers over in England. But as soon as I try to go to their web pages and try to contact them saying, yes, this is all real, I have not heard anything back from them. And I'll tell you why. My friends down in South America said, Bob, don't you know what we know? I said, no. And they know that the United States, Canada, and what I call England, or you call the United Kingdom, that they're all under a mass disinformation program where your news systems will not print, will not talk about certain things. Now, I have friends up in Canada, and they've sent me down some articles. And, yes, whenever anyone tries to publish anything about UFOs or anything that's being seen in the skies, they downplay it really fast or do not publish the article.
True.
Now, why would they be doing this? Okay, Pope John Paul II said very clearly back in 1980, what if it was in writing that the world's oceans would cover every continent, killing millions in minutes? Mass depopulation. The New World Order.
That's been mentioned lots of times, that, Robert.
Exactly.
New World Order.
Exactly. Now, here in the United States, we have the Georgia Guidestones, okay? Three massive stones in the state of Georgia. And it's on the internet. It's called the Georgia Guidestones. So any of your people listening to this, they can go on to their, and they can Google it or whatever term they use. Now, these big blocks, they were made in 1979. And on each one of these huge stones, they have a basic Ten Commandments. And it's almost in every known language. Almost. Not all, but almost. And in these writings, they say, do not let the population ever to go above 500 million again. Well, we're close to 8 billion, aren't we, Bob?
Yeah.
Almost 9 billion people. And here's these guidestones saying very clearly, never let the population go above 500 million again. So whoever paid for these things, they knew something bad was coming up. Now, the person who they know was part of it was called R.J. Christian. R.J. Christian.
Christian.
Now, how many different groups do we have, secret societies? We have the Illuminati, we have the Masons, and we have the Rosicrucians. Rosicrucians. R.J. Christian. Rosicrucians. Comes very close, my friend. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Each one of the world governments, have the Masons, people who are of the Masonic Temple. Here in the United States, George Washington, he was a Third Order Mason. several of the other founders of the United States were all Masons. Several of the presidents here in the United States all were from the Masonic Order. Okay?
Yes.
The Anunnaki, according to ancient tablets, came here to Earth 450,000 years ago because they wanted gold and other minerals. The Anunnaki, according to them, created the human race. They took, like, chimpanzees or gorillas and mated with them, creating humans. In their book, The Lost Book of Enki, Adam and Eve were the first of the two humans. Now, they also created an earlier worker, but they didn't work out, so they tried to kill him off. Is that what we call Bigfoot here in the United States?
Yes,
Sasquatch?
Yeah.
Is that the Yeti up there in Upper China? Russia has a weird ancient thing that runs around. Different names are all around the planet. Okay? So, what if they knew this thing was coming through again, and they knew it would probably do the same thing again, but they want the humans, the advanced humans, to survive this time? Now, the ETs, the extraterrestrials, they've been coming here to our planet for a very long time. The SOHO satellites, which first started in 1996, one of their best images I have is from 1998. And what does it show? It shows this huge flying saucer heading right towards the satellite. And ever since then, SOHO, with its cameras, stereo ahead, stereo behind, and the SETI, which is a U.S. Navy camera, which is on the stereo ahead, stereo behind, they've been picking up these massive starship things that are coming into our solar system, and they're leaving our solar system on a daily basis. Okay? Now, a lot of the...
Robert, if they've been coming to our universe for ages and to Earth for us,
yes,
so long and grouping in different areas, and you're saying that they're starting to leave now.
No. The planet Nibiru is in our solar system right now. Its moons or planets, whichever term you want to use, where they're coming very close to the Earth right now. Okay? So, no, they're not leaving because the Earth is still a source of gold and probably copper,
yes,
and something else that they used up on the planet Nibiru thousands of years ago. The Holy Bible and a lot of the other religions, they call them the Watchers. Now, I'm going to tick off some of your listeners right here. If you read The Lost Book of Enki, tablets number 9 and number 10, detail it very clearly. When the planet Nibiru was very close, the king of Nibiru, Anu, he came down to have a big celebration on the planet Earth. Now, 200 of the Anunnaki who lived up on Mars, they're called the Aegis. They came down to Earth to be part of the celebration. Now I'm going to throw in the Book of Enoch. the book of Enoch. Enoch says very clearly, 200 came down and grabbed human females. The lost book of Enki says, yes, these 200 Aegis came down to Earth, and they had a plan. They were ticked off because the Anunnaki here on Earth were having sex with all the human females, and they weren't. So they grabbed 200 females, and they said, you try and take them back from us, we'll set off these nuclear bombs. So the king Anu had, exactly, the king Anu had no choice but to allow them to keep the 200 females. So here you have the lost book of Enki saying very clearly, 200 came down, took human females, had sex with them, and they had babies who were the giants. The lost book of Enki says that 200 came down and they took 200 females, but they were allowed to keep them. They had no choice. Now, is Zechariah Sitchin just a big liar? Did he lie in every one of his books? Or did he actually read something on these Sumerian tablets of what actually happened all those years ago? Okay? In the Lost Book of Enki, 9 and 10th tablet, they knew that Nibiru's orbit was altered. It was coming in closer towards Mars than it ever had done before. And they knew that it was going to cause a huge flood on the Earth. So they had to make these tablets, and they had to bury them so that the humans in the advanced future would know exactly what happened. Okay, so they hid enough knowledge that humans would know what happened. Now, Noah's flood has almost been dated exactly by researchers to somewhere around 12,900 years ago. And that's the date I've found from one researcher after the other, after the other, after the other.
Right.
Now, something did happen 12,900 years ago, but they don't really know how to describe it. They think a comet came down and hit or exploded in the atmosphere above the Earth over North America and Canada. And all they know for truth is that they found these tiny little magnetic things. There's a specific name for them, I keep forgetting them, where they found these back through the ice ages, so they knew exactly when they found them. And what did that mean? That something did happen, something 12,900 years ago.
Right.
You see, Nibiru swings through our system on an average every 3,600 years. The Earth orbits around our solar system counterclockwise once a year. So every time Nibiru swings through, it doesn't do anything because we're on the opposite side away from it. But every once in a while...
So what's happening now about the rotations now? Are we getting closer to it? Or is it getting closer to us?
Okay, the Earth is orbiting right towards them. You see, the one thing that makes it very... very, very clear to all your listeners, all of us pay taxes in one form or another. Each one of the countries around the planet Earth built these deep underground military bases for their elite. Okay? Like their leaders, their richest people. These things are built. They're real. Why would they build them if nothing was going to happen?
That's true.
Why would they build these emergency seed vaults all around the planet? Why is every major library taking all the old books and putting them down in salt mines? England did it.
True.
Probably still is doing it. The United States did it and probably still is doing it. Every country around the planet Earth is putting these things in secure storage. For what reason? Do they know something's going to happen and they don't want to talk about it?
Exactly. Exactly, Robert.
Okay. Because if there is going to be a huge depopulation coming up, whomever has the most military will be the one that's in charge of the planet. That's why the United States has been burying our main battle tanks up in Norway for 3 years. We've been putting them up in Norway's caves. One of my new friends on Facebook, he sent me a recent article that showed row upon row upon row upon row of our Humvees inside this huge cave and big 50 caliber machine guns up on top of each one of them. And they went way down in the photograph. Why are we hiding all this military stuff up in Norway for? I'm quite sure England's doing the same thing, but they're keeping it quiet.
I can imagine it's doing. Yes, I'm sure it is, Robert.
Now, I know China built numerous cities down in Africa. Africa! They're heavily guarded.
Why? Yes.
They're fully active, but there's no one living there. What do the Chinese know that we don't know or we're not supposed to know about?
Yes.
Now, my webpage, if you want to go see some of this information, it's called starshipsaroundthesun.com. Starships, Starships, Around, the, Sun.com. I've got some of the pictures on there of these huge things that are coming into our solar system. Up till today, 2016, they're still coming.
And they can find you on Facebook.
Yes, Robert H. Evans, Jr. And my webpage is starshipsaroundthesun.com.
So if they've got any photos, what they've taken, they can send them to you, can't they?
Yes. I would appreciate anyone in England, Ireland, Scotland, any other country. See, the big red thing was first seen in the skies over Europe. And now over the skies over Mexico and part here in the United States now. So over a year, you've been seeing it.
When's the best time to see anything like that? Is it first thing in the morning when the sun rises?
Just before sunrise and just after sunrise, it'll be right next to the sun.
Right.
Right at sunset. Right after sunset or right at sunset, you'll see what looks like a second sun, okay? We only have one sun in our solar system. That's that nice big bright thing.
Yes.
The other, but these planets are being lit up like a second sun from our sun. So it appears like there's a second sun in the skies. That's one of these planets. Now, I have several photographs showing two of these things in the sky at the same time. We don't have three suns.
No,
we don't have two moons. We don't have two moons at nighttime, a white one and a red one, a white one or a bluish-looking one. Okay, but this is what's been seen in our skies, and no one is talking about this. I am the only researcher who is posting photographs of these things. I have photographs of eight of them. Each one is a different color.
Incredible. Incredible.
Exactly.
Right, we've just about run out of time, Robert. It always goes very quickly when you're on the show.
I try to keep it down, but I'm extremely honored, Bob, to be on your show talking to all of your listeners. Yes, the
That's
Plant
good.
Nibiru does exist.
They need to know what's happening around the world.
They better start preparing very soon. I didn't get into that. I didn't want to worry your listeners. But only the prepared will have a fighting chance of what's coming up.
Be prepared. Store some food. Water.
Yes.
Salt.
Salt.
What else did you say?
Yeah, the human body needs a certain amount of salt every day. Otherwise, your body dies because you can't sweat. You need salt for sweating.
Right. That's right.
So salt is a major thing. That's where we get the term salt from the Romans. Salt comes from the ancient term salary.
People don't realize about that. They think, oh, we put a bit of salt on food. I won't bother with salt.
Right. Well, you don't need that. You only, just a small amount in the palm of your hand every day allows your body to keep functioning. There's so much salt in our food now, we don't even think about it anymore. So
That's
if you
right.
didn't have all that nice canned food or stuff, and you don't put salt on your food, someday you'll die
because
overheat.
That's right, because if we couldn't get any food, we couldn't get any tinned
right.
food or anything like that. And like you say, if we couldn't get to salt, we'd die.
That's right, because your body needs salt to perspire. When you perspire, doing lots of heavy work, all that nice wet stuff on your skin, that's perspiration.
Yes.
If you don't have salt, your body cannot perspire. It cannot get out the heat.
If people don't sweat, they're not having enough
right.
salt then.
Exactly. It's been a great honor being on
really.
Your show.
Thank
yes.
you. It's always
it's
a pleasure
a
when you're on the show, Robert.
And I thank you very much to talk to all of your listeners about this.
Yes. And hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Well, you know how to contact me, Bob, and I try to keep
I
you up
do.
To date as to what's... Oh,
yes. Yes, I know you do. You're always sending me photos and keeping me up to date with things. That's so nice, Robert. Right, I'll let you go. Enjoy your weekend with your family. Take care.
You too.
And I'll talk to you soon.